Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke and you can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Both numbers get you in. You can email chris@hailvarsity.com. And find us and follow us on Twitter. You can tweet at us at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, or at Hail Varsity. First order of business. Welcome back. Congratulations, Aaron Sorensen. Back with HailVarsity.com and magazine and doing all things fabulously on social media. So that is awesome. We'll run down Brandon Vogel in 1 hour. I know Vogues was with you, Danny, on Monday. I haven't got to talk to Vogues this week. We're going to talk to Brandon Vogel at 5:05. Greg Smith in about 15 minutes. Friday Night Lights gets rolling again. Season two for it. Season one for Scott Frost and his staff. Greg Smith will be all over Who's Coming. And also the latest recruiting news. And then Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, will get his take on some of the events of the week. And Blackshirt Jay with us at 5:25. We'll dive into some U.S. Open. We'll get you ready for the Marty Party. As Marty Smith and Marty Smith's America, that thing's going to have probably a 79 share in the state of Nebraska tonight on ESPN at 7 o'clock. We'll have some thoughts on the old Grand Canyon hike. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Danny, what do you know today?
Feeling good. It's a little too hot for my liking, though, so I've kind of just been staying in, and just a brief walk from the car to the building, that's about all I've been outside, so
okay.
Trying to stay in the cold.
We'll talk to Deb the Spa Lady next week. I know you have hot tub parties. I can only imagine the Danny Burke, you and all your sick Delta buddy hot tub parties. All right.
Not today. Too hot for
no,
that.
No, I know. But. I know. I'm just wondering if you've turned the temp down, though. For the lovely neighbors across the hall.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, and you didn't come last time, sent you the invite. You didn't make it.
You know what happened to me? Okay, I was off Monday, get back from Denver, smuggled all those edibles and balloons. I'm kidding. I am kidding. That's illegal. Wouldn't do that. But I spent time with my kid, much to his chagrin. We went swimming.
Mm.
Right.
And hotel we go, pool?
No. We went to Madonna. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
They have a basketball hoop there, and you're like, all right, come on, Dad. Let's play one-on-one. And I went to Billy Madison. I just crushed him. It was great. He tried to shoot it.
Swatted the ball.
I swatted it. It almost shattered his sunglasses. It was wonderful. But he took his elbow, and he was ready to try and make a Barkley-esque post move. And let's just say I need to keep working on the old boiler. He's like, I'm going to elbow the baby. So he's just talking it to me. And so that was my afternoon. I should have just come into work and hung out with you guys.
I imagine it was also like with Peyton Manning on SNL, like chucking the footballs at the kid. That's how you are with your son.
I'm very...
bullying
very,
him in the post.
I'm very hard. I'm heckling him last night at Cooper Park while he's pitching and his team's down 21-9. And I told him it was still his fault. Yeah, I just motivate differently. We'll get into the recruiting profile, some good stuff this week. I mean, you had the Husker Nation tour. I know that stopped on Tuesday, but more and more info, more and more comments and quotes are coming out. Good coverage, as always, from Hail Varsity on that. And I'm really anxious to get into a couple of points here. We spent time talking about Coach Fisher and Coach Chenander, but they got in-depth and in pretty vivid detail about what they're looking for when it comes to recruiting. So we'll talk a little bit about that. It's big tomorrow, session one of Friday Night Lights. It all fits together. The mailbag is something we'll get into as well. And the Honda of Lincoln fan poll is out there as well. One of the questions in the mailbag, and it's something we didn't get to yesterday, but it was part of this Husker Nation tour, and it was the talk about the Florida job that was open. Okay, you had the Florida Gators, you had the Tennessee Vols, I had Texas A&M. You had, and then you had UCLA. You remember back, and when we were talking about it, what was the fear level like that one of them would get Scott Frost over Nebraska getting Scott Frost, right? Bill Moos nailed it. I watched his entire speech, the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce, Face the Chamber. Love listening to Bill Moos. That was a lot of fun to hear him talk. The guy is incredible. And he touched on Florida. And he touched on these programs blasting their coach, the coach trying to get to a bowl game, trying to win 8 or 9 games. And you know how bad Florida's season was. You know how A&M's been a roller coaster of underachievement. You know what Butch is about at Tennessee, and now he's no longer there. High-profile, big-time programs with tons of money and tons of recruits within, you know, a punted football when it comes to just what type of population base do you have to work with. And Bill Moos was able to get Scott Frost, touched on that. And the reality about Florida and the offer, you knew it happened. It was Florida is going after Chip Kelly. Florida is going after Scott Frost. They wanted Chip Kelly first. Kelly decided UCLA. I thought he would go to Florida. Chip's going to just go kick it in L.A. But then they came after Scott Frost. And Dan Mullen's a really good coach, and he knows Florida, so they made a good hire. It worked out. But Scott Frost was off the table because Florida said, look, man, we want you. We think you'd be great here. It's a step up, but it's a place you've been in and you've won in, and you run a great offense. Florida's always been known for offense, fun and gun, either with Spurrier or Tebow in the zone read and the Urban Meyer spread. Frosty, come to Florida, come win here. Here's the catch. We have some pretty good dudes already on staff. Okay, so you can't bring your whole staff. And that was the deal breaker. And that was touched on by Coach Becton on the Husker Nation Tour this week. And my question is, if Scott Frost would have been able to take his staff, all of his staff, everybody he wants, have that camaraderie, would he have gone to Florida? We'll ask Jay Moore about that. He knows Scott pretty well. But I want you to think about it. I mean, Florida's loss isn't Nebraska's gain, absolutely. But if push comes to shove, I'd like to know someday, hey, if all things being equal, the pressure of coming home, the job and task at hand, you know how to do it. You've won here and played here and coached here. Now you're coaching here. Would you have still chosen Nebraska? That's something to don't have to worry about, thank God, if you're a Nebraska fan. But I just wonder, and my gut tells me that the pull of familiarity opposed to the recruiting area, that fertile recruiting Southeast SEC area, would have been too much to say no to Nebraska. The poll of Coach Osborne, and I'm not saying Coach Osborne saying you got to come back. No, I'm just saying that it was all about doing the right thing, and that was coming to Nebraska. And the big part of that right thing was being able to bring his staff. Continuity. Why did programs go die? What ended Florida State? Well, Bobby was getting up there. But all of Bobby's longtime assistants, they ended up going to North Carolina State. They ended up getting head jobs. What ruined Florida? Why did Urban Meyer go from 12-2 or 12-13-1 to 7-5? And then there's health issues. Well, they lost a quarterback named Cam after Tebow graduated. But what was in the cupboard? Well, Dan Mullen got a head job. Defensive guy, Charlie Strong, got a job. Okay, went to Louisville. You lose those key rock star coordinators, and it gets real messy real quick. Now, Wisconsin, we talked to Barry Alvarez yesterday. He's been the exception, man, because he's lost coordinators that have gone on to be head coaches. He's lost head coaches to go make more money at the SEC. And the Barry Alvarez plan for 10-2 and murdering somebody in four quarters of football with smash mouth antics, that's alive and well. But if you lose your coordinators, that's when your program goes nose down. Transition, lack of continuity, that is what is going to be the first nail in your coffin as a program when you descend. Texas, Mack Brown had ran through coordinators, all right? USC, look at Pete Carroll, as how, aside from, you know, Bush's beach house, you lost some of your coordinators. You lost Kiffin, you lost Sarkisian to take a head job. I can go on and on. The one guy who's been bulletproof from it has been Nick Saban. And he's two steps ahead of the game. Urban Meyer has been, too. He lost Herman. He has lost his defensive coordinator. Ash is now at Rutgers. So you got Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, the two coaches right now that have been able to stay at top three or national championship level. But the last X amount of years in college football, when that rock star group of coaches start to go find and look for their head jobs, take their shot, be the man instead of having to put in a lot of the work, that's when you fall off. And that's one of the reasons. There's a lot of reasons Coach Osborne stepped away when he did. But, I mean, you know, Coach Solich was promised the gig, got the gig. Frank had an opportunity to leave and be a play caller. He was never going to be a play caller while Osborne was here. Coach McBride had chances to go to the NFL or maybe be a head coach out in the WAC, as an example, or bless his soul, Milt Tenneper had a chance at one point, but they stayed. Look at Colorado. We talk about Colorado football a lot. Barnett leaves, DiNardo leaves, and they eventually come back, but McCartney called it quits after the 94 season. I mean, you are good enough to make brilliant hires, guys that can recruit, guys that can coach, guys that are money with scheme, and they're so good they're going to get plucked away, and that is what ends up killing your program. And when you don't let a guy bring camaraderie in so you don't have to coach the coaches, you can hit the ground running. That was Florida's fumble. And Florida is going to be a good football program under Mullen. They're going to end their problem with quarterback play because Dan Mullen's there. Florida's been just magnificent defensively. A lot of that's because Muschamp was there with what he loaded up in the cupboard. But Florida's still not going to become what Florida was under Urban Meyer, even as good as Mullen is. Okay, SEC's too disgusting, too good. Okay, Tennessee's going to, they got an Urban disciple, or I should say a Saban disciple there. They're going to jump back up. Georgia's going to be great for a long time. Another Saban guy. So the window there for Florida to have success, they still will have it, but it isn't going to be what it has been. Meanwhile, at Nebraska, Scott Frost brings his assistants here. He's happy. He knows the landscape. He knows who and how to recruit. He's got his system. You can win and put points on the board in the Big Ten running the spread offense. You go get a crazy aggressive defense to just cause havoc. You can build things up and be playing for a Big Ten championship in a few years here. But it was all about that camaraderie, chemistry, and not having to replace coordinators every 2-3 years. What you don't want to have happen is have to be as good as Urban or have to be as good as Saban with 2 years ahead of time plucking somebody like Leach's defensive coordinator, Grinch, taking a co-coordinator gig as coordinator in waiting because Shiano's going to get hired away at some point. That's what Urban's doing. That's what Saban's doing, hiring guys as offensive or defensive analysts. Guys that got their head coaching job shots, got fired from it, and now they're in the analyst role, waiting to get promoted back up to coordinator, but still a far cry from a head coach. Frost is good. Frost is really happy, and he's got his guys. And that was Florida's mistake. They could have really made it much more of a race had they just said, Scott, you know what's up? Look what you're doing. You're tremendous. There you have it. It would have been tempting to probably stay down in Florida if he could have kept his staff, but I think ultimately Nebraska still gets that yes.
Yeah, this is tough for me. I mean, originally,
and I want your take on it because you're Danny Cassino, man. You went here, but you're not from here, so I'm interested. It makes sense. Well, Florida's a better program than Nebraska. Well, I think Nebraska can get back up quicker.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a different neighborhood. The SEC East is not the SEC West, just like the Big Ten West isn't the Big Ten East.
Sure, yeah. And originally when this discussion was coming, we talked about it. I think Bill Dolman said kind of what I was saying too, that why would you leave Florida with all those connections down there, all the recruits? But it makes sense now that you see what I've seen from him at Nebraska, just the camaraderie, the familiarity, just how he acts being back home. Now I can say I think he, of course, would have, you know, still taken Nebraska. But back then, before any of this, I saw him here. I did think there was a good chance that he was going to stay in Florida. I mean, I couldn't see why not. It's a great place, great location, and just because of the recruiting. But, of course, the Big Ten West, you know, a better chance to get to that conference championship most likely here, and just coming back home, it's a tough question. But now that this came out, it really just like raises the question even more so. But I don't know, man, it's tough. If they let him get that step, I mean, I still think
you've got pressure
more.
To win at Florida, but I mean, this is home, this is like legacy defining pressure to win your alma mater and fix the place.
I think he understands that there might have been more patience here though too.
Oh yeah, because Florida's been three and out for their last two coaches.
Yeah,
I mean, Muschamp, McElwain, right? Yeah, I mean, this is perfect storm, perfect timing. We'll talk some recruiting. Friday Night Lights, Greg Smith on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. And we'll talk about Scott Frost's trek into the Grand Canyon. Marty Smith's America. We'll spend a little bit of time. That video is out, that segment. Pretty interesting. Greg Smith has been all over recruiting. Great to get caught up with Hail Varsity's recruiting analyst, Greg Smith, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, is it too hot for you to even grill tonight?
Yes and no. I'm going to go super lazy and just throw like a big piece of ham on the grill. So I won't have to be out there very long. But I did go out there in an attempt to start to cut my grass, and then I started sweating profusely and ran back in the house.
Greg Smith trying to mow the yard in 1,000-degree weather.
I didn't realize that it was 1,000 degrees outside. I probably should have listened to my wife this morning.
Well, that part, listening to the wife, dude, that is selective. Let's be straight with it. A lot of selectivity going on tomorrow night, man. Nebraska going to be eyeing a lot of talent. Kids in on Friday Night Lights. We'll get there in a second. But you had a chance to talk with 2020 quarterback prospect Logan Smothers out of Alabama. Give me your thoughts on Logan, your discussion with him. And he got the Coach Verduzco and Coach Frost treatment.
Yeah, he definitely did. And, you know, if you watch his film, and it's up on his profile at HailVarsity.com, if you like Luke McCaffrey and the athletic skill set that he brings, you'll love Logan Smothers. They're essentially very similar players. Logan actually might be a little bit more dynamic runner. When you watch his running style, just his running style, not his throwing motion, he actually looks like healthy Taylor Martinez running the football, but he's a better passer. So I want to continue to stress that. As we talk about him. But no, he definitely got the full, you know, Mario Verduzco and Scott Frost treatment while him and his father were here in town after making that double-digit hour trek from Alabama. And he really hit it off with Mario Verduzco and Scott Frost. Verduzco in particular, who he spent the majority of his time with while he was in town. As most guys tend to do, he really gravitated towards the things that Mario was saying and how he teaches the quarterback position. He's very high on Nebraska right now. I think that there's a little bit of thing at play here where I think that quarterbacks, and I said this before, that quarterbacks are going to look to get their spot earlier rather than later when it comes to jumping in the boat with Scott Frost and Verduzco, because you know that guys are going to start lining up for that spot, especially once they get this thing actually, you know, on film, then you can see how this offense can take off.
No, and is it fair to say that Smothers is the top 2020 kid on Nebraska's board for quarterback? And give me that answer, and then is he your top quarterback on the board?
I believe right now that he is their top quarterback for 2020, because you have to, and also it seems a little crazy, but at the same time, think about just a few months ago as Nebraska seemingly at that point was scrambling to find their 2019 quarterback and get some foothold there, because a lot of the top guys were already committed because quarterbacks commit so early. So I think that it's a wise move by Nebraska to jump out ahead of that one position in particular. And I think that he fits their team, both his personality and his skill set, very, very well. And so far from what I've seen, he's right up there in the mix as one of the better quarterbacks that I've seen for 2020. There's a couple other guys that really jump off the chart. There's a kid in Minnesota whose name is escaping me right now for 2020, but he's also a five-star basketball player, so he'll probably never play football. But Smothers is right up there in the mix with the best that I've seen so far on film in 2020.
Yeah, where's Smothers going the rest of this week?
Yeah, so he's heading, I think today or tomorrow, he's heading to Auburn to their camp to throw for them. And then he's going to go to Mississippi State on Saturday to their camp. And then next Tuesday, he'll be going to see Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa to do an unofficial visit there. We'll see how those go. I don't know how high on the board he is for them or if he fits all of those situations, because we don't quite know what Joe Moorhead is planning to do at Mississippi State yet, because he hasn't, you know, been able to put his fingerprints all over that yet. But I think Nebraska's in a really good position with him, barring anything crazy happening, because he doesn't have offers from any of those schools yet. So that's also something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Joe Moorhead's looking for another McSorley is what he's doing.
Right.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV. So who else is coming to town for tomorrow night? I know we just talked about Logan Smothers, 2020 quarterback, but from a 19 or 20 prospect look, who are some names folks need to listen for and read about from Hail Varsity come Monday?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This one coming up tomorrow is going to be a little bit different. So I think from what I understand, what the structure of these two camps is going to be is tomorrow's camp is going to be more for the coaching staff to be able to evaluate some fringe guys that don't quite have offers yet, or guys that are on the fringe of being real strong walk-on candidates. But you're still going to have a couple of guys in attendance tomorrow that you definitely want to keep an eye on. And actually, speaking of 2020, that's where you kind of have to start with Xavier Betts, wide receiver out of Bellevue West, who actually may end up being a five-star for the class of 2020 when it's all said and done. I would not be surprised by that. And he's very high on Nebraska's 2020 board. They're recruiting him very hard. And I think Nebraska, he's really been in good standing with, or he has good feelings about Nebraska staff since they took over and have been recruiting him really hard. Also, Garrett Nelson, Nebraska 2019 commit, will also be in town tomorrow. But right now, that list is still a little bit fluid for the one tomorrow, because it feels like there's going to be some more under the radar guys, and I think you'll hear some good names emerging from that camp tomorrow, but you may not know them necessarily coming into it.
Let's talk defensive line. Give me a Tony Fair update, and then give me an Aiden Kiana, the Denver, Colorado kid, took his unofficial visit this week, correct?
Yes, he did. I'll start with the Tony Fair update. It's kind of ground to a halt with Tony Fair. Still think Nebraska is in a good position. I know there was a little concern from what I heard on his end about Nebraska getting the defensive tackle grad transfer from Utah. Mm-hmm. But I think that Nebraska still could be a strong play here once the dust settles. But I think that Tony didn't want to necessarily rush into a decision. And when that's it, he didn't want to. I think the family didn't want him to rush into a decision and just go ahead and jump on the first thing that he really felt strongly about. So they want to make sure that he's good there. And as far as Aiden, the 2020 defensive tackle from Colorado, I think he's going to be a real priority recruit for the 2020 class. Barrett Rude really taking the lead. As if you remember, when they initially sent out that list for the coaches tour, Barrett Rude was supposed to be on there. He was actually supposed to be in Blair, where I was that day. But he actually came off of the tour to make sure that he could host Aiden for his trip. And him and his father had a great time. I think Nebraska really matches up well with what he's looking for as far as academics, football-wise, and the campus life and the student life, that all kind of go hand-in-hand for him and making his decision. But he's got the who's who of offers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Oregon, like he's got Wisconsin. He's got them all. He's going to be a big-time prospect in 2020.
What impresses you about Aiden's film?
He's strong. Like that kid can again move some defensive or some offensive tackle and some offensive linemen, but he's also quick enough to be able to get off of those blocks and make the tackle, which was something interesting that he said that Coach Dawson really liked about his film as well, was that he says that Coach Dawson says that he doesn't want defensive linemen that are just, you know, space eaters. He wants you to be able to hold up at the point of attack, but he also wants you to be athletic enough to be able to get off of those and make those tackles so you're not leaving all of the dirty work and the cleanup work to the linebackers, which I think is music to Nebraska fans' ears.
Greg Smith, a couple more minutes. Recruiting thoughts, Friday Night Lights tomorrow. Greg going to be there covering it for Hail Varsity at Greg Smith HV on Twitter is where you can find him. You can read him with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, now I want to get your take here. We've talked a lot about some defensive line. We've hit on some quarterbacks. One thing that I thought was pretty fascinating, and you and Jacob and Derek were all over the Husker Nation tour. I was kind of wowed by Coach Fisher's thoughts on what you got to do to be a cornerback, specifically his pointed comments about the incumbents, right? Mm-hmm. But I know you were able to hear Coach Fisher talk, and Shenander too, about what type of kid they want to recruit. And a simple question that's asked to a recruit when they talk about the 2018 schedule, the second toughest schedule in the country. They gauge a kid's reaction. I was fascinated by just the personality test they give a kid pretty much when they sit down and find out if he loves football or not.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that loving football and competitiveness, I think, are two things that are kind of, it feels kind of abstract and it's difficult to actually measure because you truly can never really know, which is why I think they like to be able to really test that over time if they really could. But I think that those things are essential for what they're trying to do, especially on defense with this team. And that competitive nature, though, you can tell by the comments that Travis Fisher made, which were basically, hey, if you're here on the team right now, and I inherited you, and you're not really, you know, ready to get on the bus and to get this thing going, then I'm going to find the next guy to come in and take your spot. Like, they basically make no bones about that. And I also like the fact that I don't think that anything that Travis Fisher said along those lines during that coaches tour or Eric Shenander, what they said, I don't think any of that was news or new to any of the players on this defense, which I think that straightforward mentality as well is really impactful.
Greg, about 2 minutes here, a thought or two on the St. Louis region. How are things cooking for Nebraska down there?
Yeah, I think that Nebraska is starting to make a little bit of progress. I think that Travis Fisher, speaking of him, actually said while they were down on their satellite tour that St. Louis region is going to end up being a lot like Miami was for them when they were down at UCF. And it looks like a guy, Jameson Williams, the 2019 four-star wide receiver, just released his top five that included the Huskers. It was Nebraska, Oregon, Alabama, UCLA, and Ohio State. Not bad company. So Nebraska definitely making some strides, or at least really trying to put the pedal to the metal and make up some ground with those St. Louis kids, who they're definitely not stopping recruiting despite going on a little bit of a bad streak of being left out of top groups a couple of months ago.
Greg, 30 seconds. What can folks read from you in the Hail Varsity yearbook?
Oh, I'll have a nice write-up on the recruitment of Caleb Tanner, kind of how that all unfolded, and then why it's so important that Georgia becomes a big-time state that Nebraska is trying to recruit, and why Caleb Tanner needs to be successful here so they can continue to recruit Georgia, which has become an absolute hotbed in that next big state after California, Texas, and Florida.
20 seconds. Can Nebraska make good on that? Can they do more than just one or two kids? Can they make it three, four, five? Can it grow?
Yes, but you've got to have success, you've got to show kids that they can play early and have a chance to compete.
Okay, and do well, perform at a high level as well.
Yeah.
Greg Smith, Greg, be good, man. Thanks so much for the great info as always.
Hey, thanks for your time. Stay out of the heat.
I will. I'm staying right here. A lot of times I whine when it's sunny and beautiful out. But this beats working, air quote. And yeah, if it's 1,000 degrees outside, pour another, stay inside. Keep Alexa on with Hail Varsity at ESPN Lincoln. We'll talk a little Marty Party. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We got quite a suggestion for you. Go swim. Go get cooled off. Do so with Madonna Proactive. Dive right into summer with a fitness membership. This summer membership, 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln, Madonna Proactive, 402-420-0000. Okay, the summer memberships available for just a few more days. If you need a place to take the kids or you want to just go kick it and relax in front of the pool, stay cool. When it hits triple digits, Madonna Proactive there for you. Summer memberships, that includes access to the entire facility. That includes three swimming pools, cardio, free weights, basketball court, over 100 group exercise classes. Join by June 24th and receive a five-visit guest pass punch card. That's for family and friends, or maybe people you want to become friends with. Take your tour today. 56th and Pine Lake, Madonna Proactive. That summer fitness and summer membership available. Just a few more days, June 24th. Get in on it. MadonnaProactive.org. What you log on to. Okay. Marty Smith. Marty Smith's America. I get a kick out of Marty on mornings during the weekend. Saturdays, the weekend edition of Hail Varsity gets rocking at 7. Marty and McGee precede us. And I love listening to two country boys kick it. Sometimes they hit sports. Sometimes they talk about raccoons. Sometimes it's country music, whatever. They are gold. They're fun. Marty Smith's kind of been blowing up, part of game day. And I get a kick out of the work he does. He's just a regular dude that is living the life, living the dream. And his program tonight, Marty Smith's America, 7 o'clock. I know Nebraska fans want to see it because there's an extended look and kind of a get-to-know-you feature on Scott Frost with Marty as they hiked the Grand Canyon. But Saban's there, Harbaugh, Jimbo, and then Frosty. And I can imagine how the features are going to be. And this isn't a shot at Marty, their producers, or the show. But Jimbo's just kind of a intense, crazy dude. Harbaugh's doing Harbaugh things when they were in France, right? And then there's Frost. What are they featuring with Frost? Well, dude's leaving at 4 a.m. to go on a 24-mile hike that could cause health issues to some or most of us. That's what Marty's getting involved with Scott Frost. I can't wait to see it. What's the longest hike you've participated in, Danny? Are you a hiker?
No.
Or are you a hitchhiker?
Probably the latter. But we were talking about it yesterday a little bit. I drive up the mountains kind of type guy. I don't really walk around as much. I also haven't had that many opportunities to go on hikes necessarily, but probably not.
Colton's the dirty little hippie that goes,
yeah,
you know, hiking in Boulder, and
yeah,
he's going to be in Arizona. So,
what about you?
Dude, it's been forever since I've hiked, but one time, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I did hike.
Okay.
But what Frost was doing is getting together with the program. It's a military-style leadership program that they used at Central Florida that will begin Sunday with this Nebraska team. And the message is real simple with Scott Frost. I will do what I say and ask of you. I am not too good to get down and get my hands dirty when it comes to working hard. Now, the other side and impact of this hike was for him to provide something that's kind of becoming more of a, not just local, but is going to be a national story after it airs tonight, and that is that work, that faith, that life balance that Scott Frost has talked about, but he lives it, and that is so hard to do. Think about football coaches that are at the top of their game. I mean, stories of Gruden going into work at 3 a.m. to midnight. The Nebraska staff would grind and still are proud of what they did. but you got to have a balance. Otherwise, dudes burn out. Family situations dissolve because you're not home. And the one thing Frost has been pretty upfront about is trying to achieve a very high and healthy level of work-life balance with his faith involved with that. And in the video, and I think it's it might be posted on a few different Husker websites, he gets into to the why. Why are you doing this? And it's clear in his head. It's getting away from the film. It's getting away from recruiting. It's getting away from just the grind, the juggernaut, the let's be straight, the monster that Nebraska football is. Right now, he has been treated, and deservedly so, like a conquering hero coming back into Rome. And that's what's happening because of the hope, the hype, and the belief. And but he's a guy that knows what these stakes are. You're undefeated right now, too. So it's okay to suck up the praise, all the roses being tossed. But there is work that's done. And the grind has been real for him for a long, long time. And he'll take breathers. He'll take breathers to golf courses. He'll take breathers to to do a 24-mile hike in the Grand Canyon. And his military buddy that's a part of this video with the program, I mean, they were in South Africa and swam in cages where there were great whites hanging out. Adrenaline junkie, thrill seeker. He did a 20-mile hike in New Hampshire that was very, very brutal. But the quote, that the money quote in this video story of part of Marty Smith's America is Frost just chilling with a dude, a country dude named Marty, answering a question about why the hell are you doing this? And as a leader, people got to see you kind of living out what you're preaching. And it's real easy to say, especially as a parent, do as I say, not as I do. Son, don't drink in excess. Geez, Dad, how was your Saturday night? Do you remember it? I mean, right? Do as I say, not as I do. I'm the adult. And it's, you have that right as the adult to be do as I say, not as I do, but it's a little harder to get buy-in with that take on things. You got to carry out and follow through and practice what you preach. And a simple example is Scott Frost asking guys to be in shape, asking guys to be committed, asking guys to have a work-life balance. Case in point, a little extreme, a little excessive, but no less a monster physical challenge. And that is go crank up and hike 24 miles down and back to the mouth of the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon. It's his way to clear his mind and get away from the grind. And more so, it reinforces the fact that, you know, leadership is on point. Good teachers, which is what great coaches are, show their students how to do what they're asking them to do. And that'll be on full display with Marty Smith's America. U.S. Open thoughts. Whew. Brutality. Jay Moore's coming up. Brandon Vogel on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A few minutes away from Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Father's Day this weekend. You can log on HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Take care of Dad. Wonderful Father's Day bundle opportunity. Get that Husker fan hooked up in your life. If you are a dad, just buy yourself something. Premium online content and the magazine subscription can be yours. For one bundled price, it is incredible. That includes the yearbook that will be on newsstands shortly with Scott Frost on the cover. The Honda of Lincoln fan poll is out. Wake up, Mr. Burke. How many road games will Nebraska win in 2018? How many road games will Nebraska win in 2018? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. And your road games, if you don't know, Michigan, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Ohio State, Iowa. I say they get two. I say they get two. I say they get Northwestern, and I say they get Iowa. Iowa Russ right now is throwing something at his radio. I say Nebraska gets two. Too high, too low, just right, casino, Danny.
Initial reaction, I feel like everyone says two and picks out those games.
Oh, I'm weak, huh? I say everyone picks two.
Because that was my initial thought, too. But if I'm going to be realistic, I'm going to have to say one. But I want to say
I'm
two.
I'm going to be realistic. Jeez.
Just, I feel like people are underestimating Northwestern a little bit. I think by Iowa, since it's a rivalry game, it's, you know, the Black Friday, the whole shebang. I think we'll have it figured out by then, and we should beat them. Northwestern, I feel like people are overlooking them a lot. Mm. I just think that would be a gritty game.
Doesn't happen that you probably drank beer in Evanston before.
Has nothing to do with that.
I thought you...
I'm really not a Northwestern fan. I could care less about them. I just think
You really dislike Northwestern kids?
No, I don't. I know a couple Northwestern kids. I mean, they're pretty much how you would
perceive them. So how'd you end up in Nebraska? I'm kidding. I'm joking.
No, yeah, the graduate. Darren Ravels of the world. But yeah, those are who go to Northwestern. But yeah,
those who goes to Northwestern. Okay, so there you go. We'll talk to Brandon Vogel coming up. Good stuff, good news for Hail Varsity. Aaron Sorensen is back with Hail Varsity. That's outstanding. We'll talk to Vogues about some football, maybe about a bag of footballs, and get his take on the Husker Nation tour. And what Bill Moose has been up to. Plus that mailbag question, Frost and Florida, if... I just get a text from my brother, Uncle Donkey, asking if Carson got rid of his phone during the middle of a show. My kid's a prima donna little puke that won't text anybody back, father included. He took a hammer to his phone, Pelini style. That's no joke. We took a claw hammer, and now he has to talk to people and look them in the eye.
That's scary, though. How can you make him do that?
Because I'm grooming him someday to have season tickets at Nebraska so he can watch games and not be on his phone.
There you go.
I want to remind you about highway safety, texting, and driving. Stupider things you could do, but that list is short. Behavior is always dangerous. Every time you text and drive, it's like taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds. And when you do that, it's like driving blind 55 miles per hour, the length of a football field. And it increases your crash risk 23 times. It's also illegal. Fines between $100 and $300. Don't text, don't drive. A message to you from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Okay, Brandon Vogel, next hour. Blackshirt, Husker, NFLer, Jay Moore, next hour. Great to be with you. Thanks for your time. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
In hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you, Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, coming up. And then we'll hit some U.S. Open. I couldn't, but it resembles normalcy for me. I don't know how good this guy is at golf, so I'm going to ask him to start things off before we get deep into the football pool. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, I've missed you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've missed you as well. How was how'd Colorado treat you?
It was the team was brutal. They were 1-2. Just being straight up honest. My wife now likes Pink Floyd.
Good. Well, at least you got one win and you got a bunch of Pink Floyd CDs. That's not bad.
She went all in, man. I mean, she went Dark Side and The Wall. So
yeah.
Right. She's still listening.
It's also Mario Brzezinski's favorite rock band. So she's
really?
Good company.
Yeah. That's awesome. Great. No, yeah. I love Pink Floyd. That's pretty cool. Moving on. Golf. Do you hate it? Do you love it? Do you kind of participate in it? I know all the years of the Jack Pierce golf tournament, they were phenomenal times, but I never saw you digging out of the sand, brother.
No. I'm mostly indifferent towards golf. I'll watch the majors on TV. Like, I wish I played golf, and I have a bad point. At this point, I just feel like it's too late. I have too much catch-up work to do, which everybody tells me isn't the case, but I keep using it as an excuse to yet take up the sport seriously.
Okay. Well, we'll get together, and Danny will take us golfing with his winnings. Based on what you can read and gather in the Hale Varsity yearbook. Vogues, the 2018 recruiting class for Hale Varsity got a big commit. I love that narrative. Aaron Sorensen is back. Tell us how this got done, man.
Well, it was really easy. A lot of people know that Aaron worked for us. She was really one of our first additions after we started the magazine in 2012, one of the first additions to our original team. And she went off and did great work at Land of 10 this past off season, and unfortunately that setup is going away. So I was talking to her the day that news broke, and before I'd even gotten off the phone, and I was thinking along the same lines, I had multiple text messages saying, hey, what are the chances of getting her back? So there was a lot of interest from people on our team in that. There was a lot of interest from me, and judging from the response on Twitter, a lot of people are happy about the news as well.
She's so awesome.
That's how it kind of went down. Yep.
She is flat out awesome, and it's great to have Aaron Sorensen back. Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, a lot to get to with this week. You had the Husker Nation tour. Bill Moose has been to the Chamber of Commerce lunch. That was really fun to watch and listen to. And then you have the mailbag as well. We started the show off with this, and it kind of spun into that consistency of a coaching staff, the difference maker, Frost being able to bring his coaching staff to Lincoln, Florida saying, you know, we don't want you to bring all of your coaches, we just want you, and there's some good guys on staff. Do you think Frost would have looked harder at Florida, maybe chose Florida, had he not been able to bring his entire staff to Lincoln? Tell me about this horse race that could have been.
Yeah, I think it would have made things a little more difficult. You know, the tough part about handicapping that is always sort of knowing the pull of home, mm-hmm. which we always assume with, you know, coaching candidates. Anytime there's an opening anywhere in the country, people kind of first look to, okay, well, who has connections to this program? But, you know, Kansas State one day is going to have an opening, and people are going to mention Jim Levitt because mm-hmm. of the connection there. I always kind of try to look beyond that, but I think with what we've seen with Coach Frost since he's been here, is it's probably even stronger with him than most people assume with most guys that are out there. That's my read on the past few months. So I still think Nebraska wins out in that particular race. You know, I thought Greg Smith had a really good answer in the mailbag to that. You know, Nebraska needed Coach Frost more than Florida did. So it's not a surprise that, you know, they were willing to let him bring his entire staff. I think everyone has seen the value of that in the past couple of months, just getting to know some of the guys that maybe weren't household names prior to this. So that was always going to be part of it. And Nebraska kind of had a willingness to do whatever it took, more so than Florida did.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. The downfall of some of the blue blood programs isn't necessarily always scandal or recruiting violations. It can be assistant coaches and coordinators getting their shot as a head coach, and you have continuity for decades under Coach Osborne. It's something he preached. It's something Scott Frost is all about. Two coaches that have survived it, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, those are the two. You know, we talked about this to start the show. You look at Pete Carroll, you look at Urban down at Florida. I rattled off a bunch of other, Bobby Bowden at Florida State. All those dudes went to NC State for, you know, for Amato. Are you surprised that Alabama and Ohio State have been able to survive coordinators jumping, and not just jumping to a job, but rival jobs within a conference?
Oh, A little bit. I think as it's gone on, you know, as Alabama has continually had to do that, and Ohio State has as well, I think you see as you get a little bit later in these coaches' careers that it's really the head coaches that are kind of singular in those mm-hmm. specific cases. So they're going to always command, you know, the most talent when they do have those coordinator openings. And you kind of find out that, yeah, you know, everyone on the staff plays a role and everyone's important and has a job to do, but why does Alabama win? Alabama wins because Nick Saban's really good. And it's not tied to, well, he had a great offensive coordinator who had a visionary offense or vice versa. It's him. And you talk about what happens to some of these really powerful programs and why they have their downfalls. It's hard to get coaching hires right. You do the best you can. You put in the succession plan or you go out and bid, you know, aggressively on the open market. But none of those are guarantees that that head coach is going to win the same way, you know, Alabama, Nebraska, Penn State, whatever school you choose, has always won. A lot of it comes down to just the coach himself.
James Franklin's facing that with Moorhead leaving and then back to wrap Pete Carroll. I mean, look at his offensive dudes that took off. That ended his run at SC along with a little bit of scandal. Real quick, are you at a bird sanctuary?
No, I'm out on my deck because
I can be.
Yes, because I have a smoker full of meat right now. So,
ooh. Can you take a picture and tweet it? Tweety?
I can, yeah.
What are we smoking?
A little bit of everything. Pork ribs, beef ribs, sausages.
Why, because it's Thursday or you knew you were coming on and I was going to start drooling?
A little bit because it's Thursday. This is my first chance post yearbook off to press that I've had a chance to use the smoker. So seemed like a good night.
So it's celebration time.
A little bit, yeah. We still got plenty of work to do, but one thing's off the checklist at least.
Tell me about the yearbook, about Coach Verduzco. You already let the slippage happen that he loves Pink Floyd. That's his favorite band.
It is. He mentions a couple of other some of his favorite jazz musicians in there. So it's really some insight into, I think, who he is. You know, as we've gone on, some of his teaching methods are deep and intense. And I think if you read the story, you'll get a good sense of those, but also kind of where those came from. I tried to make that the focus of the story. And it started as a simple question of, hey, what's on your bookshelf and why is it there? And there's some interesting titles there. There's some you probably expect, including probably the most complete collection of Bill Walsh works that I've ever seen. And a lot of them that you wouldn't expect. So that was one of my focuses. I also took a look back basically from the night of the 1988 Orange Bowl onto the day Scott Frost was hired and sort of just looked back at everything that happened to kind of bring Frost and Nebraska back together again. So that's in there. And then, of course, we got all the great stuff that I didn't write, which is even better. So good stuff from Derek, Jacob, Greg, and Mike, traditional position previews and team previews. So I'm excited for people to see it.
I can't wait to check it out either. The cover's beautiful. HailVarsity.com. Father's Day specials going on. Can bundle premium online content and a year's subscription. Do so. I've really enjoyed the Husker Nation tour this week, hearing from the assistant, specifically Coach Fisher and Shenander. And I kind of got caught up today, just looking through, reading through, just how intense they are and they need to be, but they're pretty open about how intense they are about profiling, deep diving into kids' personalities, and that's huge. You can't miss and whiff on that if a kid loves football or not, but it's been pretty detailed this week, folks.
It really has, and you know, I think some of that comes straight from just the amount of confidence too. Like, you know, they've done some things. Those things have worked really well. It's still early in their, I guess, overall tenure or life as coaches for most of them. But at this point, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So it's refreshing to see that level of, I guess, belief in what you do and why you do it. And I think it's really vital when you start to talk about leading young athletes, be that men, women, whatever sport it is, you know, you've got to have a plan. You've got to believe in it, because if you don't, people will pick up on it. I think we saw some of that at Nebraska in recent years. I think it's the source of at least some struggles, no matter what school you're at. So in that sense, those guys and the confidence they display, the way they talk about it, you can just feel it, and I think it's really going to make a big difference.
I think you'll see it on full display tonight with Marty Smith's America. Are you going to tune in for it while you're gnawing on your beef ribs and sausage?
I'm going to try to. That's quite the lineup of coaches there, and I'm really interested to kind of see how all of those go. You know, seeing Marty and Nick Saban together is that happens pretty frequently, but he seems to be the one guy who can get Nick Saban to occasionally crack a smile. So he's doing something right.
I think Saban looks at him, and I saw that feature Noon Basketball. I mean, Saban. St. Nick looks at Marty like, you're just a goofball, dude. Where's your Dukes of Hazzard trucker hat, man? I mean, and I would wear one if I could find one. I love the Dukes of Hazzard, but Saban just kind of gives him this, oh, it's you type reaction. And then, the Harbaugh stuff will get serious, but also be Harbaugh quirky and weird because it involves, you know, World War II and... in Omaha Beach and D-Day and that. But Frost's, it's real, man. It's a trek down the Grand Canyon. I think it's not a fluff piece by any means, and it certainly isn't in comparison to the other three coaches that are going to be profiled. There's, let's play noon ball with Saban, and then there's Frost getting up at 4 a.m. with Marty to go check out the old Colorado River.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a mix. I think it'll be a mix of kind of what you see from Coach Frost, which is, you know, he can dial up the intensity to Nick Saban levels pretty quick if he feels like he needs to. But he'll also, drop some pretty funny one-liners in there and kind of let the air out of the room a little bit when that's needed as well. So I'm excited to see how that went. You know, that's a great storytelling opportunity, a unique one. And just to see sort of, I guess, how somebody, you know, everything we said about this coaching staff and their leadership style and how they think about that, to see how they want to be taught, you know, how they want to continue to develop those skills, I think is valuable.
Well, it's very valuable. I mean, I think there's a good perception and persona of Frost. He has had enough very positive camera impressions, be it award shows or Coach of the Years or halftime of the national title game. But this can really be a recruiting tool / showcase if it's not if there's not big enough buzz already on Scott Frost, his offense, and what they've done.
Well, yeah, you know, and he gets in because he's a new coach at a prominent school, but look at the people he's alongside.
Yes.
Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, both have national titles. You know, Jim Harbaugh, I look at him probably more favorable than the, I guess, popular view at this point, but obviously a notable coach, one of the biggest in the game. So for Nebraska's coach to be in that group, it feels kind of like, for Nebraska fans, where the Huskers head coach should be, and it finally feels like they have a guy who I guess merits that type of inclusion. So that's all good stuff.
60 seconds, not enough time, but what's Nebraska do with the quarterback race with this new redshirt rule?
I'll honestly be surprised if it changes it drastically. Now, it could, but based on what we saw in the spring, you know, I think Adrian Martinez is in that race enough that even if he didn't have the top, even if he isn't the starter week one, I expect him to be pretty close, and that's going to mean that you need to get him some playing time. Now, if he were to be closer to three, you know, after you go through a full summer of off-season workouts, then maybe you look at that four-game plan and take it slow at the beginning and see how things develop. But that seems like the unlikelier of the two avenues to me.
Brandon Vogel, read him. Get the yearbook, HaleVarsity.com/subscribe at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, enjoy the smoked, wonderful goodness of sausage, beef, and pork, you piggy. I love it. Tweet that picture out. We'll get caught up on Saturday, but thanks for the time.
All right, thank you.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Doing some smoking. Jay Moore. Blackshirt Husker NFL are next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore is with us, at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Jay Bird, what are you doing?
Well, I'm just right now just at work, enjoying a little U.S. Open on my computer screen, and then answering some emails, getting some work done, and then enjoying the day so far.
That is awesome. Jay, I want to talk some college football with you, man, and take me back to Jay Moore's redshirt freshman year. Imagine playing in four games and not burning your red shirt. Would you have been down with that?
Well, my freshman year, you know, I'll be honest, I was not ready to play Division I football. I'm okay with admitting that, you know. It would have been probably a pretty ugly. It'd been a very, very interesting scene if they would have thrown me out there for four games. I'd never played defensive end in a 4-3. I was always kind of a stand-up guy, and really in high school football, and what I was asked to do was pretty simple. You start getting into the intricacies of you know, Big 12 at the time, competition and defensive schemes and all that stuff, mentally and physically, I just wasn't ready for it. So I would have been one of those guys who, I don't think they would have bothered throwing in there unless it was absolute blowout, 70-10 going into the fourth quarter or something like that, and I couldn't have screwed that up. But
confident in yourself, as a freshman.
Right. Yeah. It would have been interesting. But I think it's great. I think this new rule is awesome. I think, you know, you see guys in practice and you see what they're able to do. And sometimes guys are gamers a little bit when they're young. I know they don't quite have the practice habits down yet, but just to see what they're able to do when you throw them out there. And you know, it's nice to know that if they come out there for a couple of games, like you want to play them right away, and they play two or three, four games, and they get hurt, and nice to know that, hey, we can get this year back. So I think it's a great idea. I'm glad they instituted it right away. Didn't wait for it. I know it's been on the docket here for discussion for the last couple of years. It's great. I think it's going to be good for everyone. I think it's really good for the Power Five schools. And we'll see how it plays out. It's just nice to have that in your back pocket, you know, to use and to kind of develop your roster.
Jay, how do you treat this year strategy-wise if you're Frost and Company? Do you roll out guys early, or do you let them grow and groom during the year, and it's the last four games of the year? You have four and a half games. Do you use it to help get you off to a good start, or that November push?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it's every situation is different. I think you have some guys that are coming in that you know can contribute right away, potentially. So, hey, let's see what they maybe do. Or, hey, let's maybe hold off. And if, you know, we got a couple guys banged up, then we're okay to put them in. You might have some guys who are a little raw yet. Looks like they need a couple months in a good strength conditioning program. They need, you know, a couple months, 2-3 months. In the system to learn the X's and O's and being more comfortable. And you have some guys that need some more confidence, period. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see come bowl game, too. It's like, you hear about so many guys who have developed over the year running scout team stuff, and then, you know, bowl game kind of comes, and you still have all those extra, you know, 14, 15 practices to get ready for your bowl game, and you start hearing about the young guys, who's really stood out, who's standing out in these bowl practices, and you're like, well, hell. You know, this bowl game, yes, it matters, but it, you know, unless you're not playing in one of the Final Four games, it's just, you know, you can maybe call it an exhibition. I know it's still serious, you want to win, and I know, you know, bonuses are on the line for some of these coaches, but you can throw them out there and say, hey, you know, you've developed well over the year, you've done a lot of good things, you've gotten exponentially better. At these, you know, A, B, C, D, and let's see what you do. Let's see how you play. And it's such a great, whether it's on special teams, whether it's not, it's just a good way to get guys' feet wet and not have to worry about losing a year of eligibility. That's the greatest thing. You get live bullet reps, and you can't simulate that in practice. I don't care what you do. You get live bullet reps for these guys, and, you know, you just really see how they react. And whether it's a game, whether it's four games, it's just a great thing to, you know, for pure
absolute development of your football program.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at JayMoore44 on Twitter, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay, you're a Blackshirt. We talk about this every 3 weeks, it seems like. It's been the Husker Nation Tour this week. Coach Chenander fielding questions. Are you sick of the black shirt topic? And what I mean by that, not to disrespect it, you just got outraged because it's going to be done differently. And right now, Chenander says no one's earned a black shirt. Do you have a response?
Well, no, I mean, no one's definitely earned a black shirt yet, just because you don't know who you're starting 11 guys or who, you know, you don't have to have 11 guys. I mean, you might only have six guys coming mm-hmm. through. Who knows? You know, these players haven't earned these, you know, this new staff's trust yet within the defense. Each coach can handle it however they want to do. I mean, that's how it is. It's just, you know, I know, you know, with Frost and Barrett and Greg Austin and Hell, they've been through different regimes and they've seen and, you know, heard about how they handle the black shirts. My biggest thing is these players, whether you give out 2, none, or 14 when it comes down to you open up the season, you have to be absolutely scared to death that you can lose your black shirt any day. That if you're not upheld to this exact standard of excellence, whatever that standard is. I mean, this, you know, you gotta bust your ass day in and day out of practice. You gotta take care of your stuff in the classroom. You got to be a great, you know, a person in the community. You can't be a knucklehead. You can't be doing dumb stuff out in the community. You got to represent not only the football program, yourself, and that black shirt icon. And when if you don't, if you slip up just an inch, that thing's taken away. Because I tell you what, when I never got one taken away, mine taken away, because I was scared to death. Because sometimes you come out to practice in the middle of the year. And if someone, you know, wasn't playing well, practicing well, doing the right things, that black shirt was gone. And there's nothing more embarrassing coming out to practice when you've had it for a couple weeks and you're wearing a regular red jersey or a white jersey just like everyone else. That's a kick to the gut. I mean, you see that and you want to make sure that doesn't happen. So that's my biggest thing is going forward, and you just got to be, as a player, scared to death that if you slip up one inch, that thing is gone, and you better make sure you don't. So you better bust your tail, you be a good person, and you do all the things necessary to make sure that you're representing the program, you're the rest of those 10 guys on the defense, and Coach Frost and Coach Chenander and everyone, your position coach. So that's my biggest thing, is just make them scared to death that thing is can be gone in a heartbeat.
Jay, couple of thoughts here. One on Coach Fisher being extremely candid with his corners, Lamar, Lee, Boodle, the way they need to step up. I'm sure that's been discussed privately before he went public, but are you okay with some of the things you read and heard this week from the secondary coach?
Yeah, I think you, as a coach, you got to be upfront with your players, man. There's nothing worse than a coach that says one thing to you behind, you know. I know some coaches, they want to keep things private and stuff, but I have, you know, if it is what it is, you know, and that's as a player, you know, you're going to get day in and day out from your coach. You can respect that. If he's telling you the same things and telling everyone the same, someone else the same things, that's fine. He's not beating around the bush. He's not pulling any punches. He's not, you know, a two-faced guy, because I've been around some coaches too who will tell you one thing, and then you hear they'll go talk to someone else and it's a completely different story. And then it's really hard to respect a guy, play for a guy if it's like that. Mm. So if he's telling it one way and that way is the only way, hey, so be it. And if you know, this is big boy football. This is we're here to win championships. You know, this 4-8 BS that we've been experiencing here lately, that's not going to cut it. So if that's how they, you know, if you're treated, you know, you had some kid gloves a little bit here with the previous staff, hey, that, I mean, obviously that doesn't work. So this is big boy stuff. So be mature and understand that the situation that you're in, and attack the challenge, attack the situation, and just be consistent every day, because that's what Fish is doing too. He's just being consistent with what he's telling everyone else.
Jay, is Scott Frost at Florida if they let him bring his entire staff?
I don't know.
I don't think he would be as good a job as that is. Nebraska's still Nebraska, and T.O.'s the difference maker.
Right. I don't know. I don't think so. I think that's just, you know, you get at these, you know, whatever this tour they're doing, you get to ask so many questions, and, you know, you kind of just
get going a little bit. It was just a talking point, I think. And listen, you listen to all offers. You listen to the Florida offer. You listen to the Tennessee offer. And you listen to them. But that was just one reason why not. I mean, that doesn't say, like, you know, that doesn't say that, you know, if hearsay is, or hypothetically, if, you know, they allowed him, he'd been there. I don't think so. But, I mean, it was just a talking point. I think he was just kind of elaborating on some things. And how important it is to keep the staff together.
Yes.
You know, that's why it was brought up, is the staff needs to be kept together to keep things consistent and have the transition go smoother and easier and more efficiently. So I think it was just more of a talking point at these type of deals. I don't think he was trying to prove a point or use it as a, I don't say a threat by any means, mm-hmm. but I don't think so. I mean, you're just going up the road, you know, couple, maybe 30, 40 miles, wherever, how far Gainesville is from Orlando, but and yet, yeah, the recruiting base there is, you're very familiar with it, but listen, you built something special here as a player, and you're trying to get that thing back on track, and if everybody's on board to come up here, then why the hell not, in my opinion? So I think it's just more of a talking point, you know, at these little meet and greet type of situations.
Who does better, Tiger or Phil, at the Open, and who wins the Open? Jay Moore with the prediction. Pretend you hear a drum roll.
Well, Phil's struggling a little bit. It's just windy right now, and Tiger goes off this afternoon where the wind probably be even stronger. I don't Phil's actually hit a lot of the fairways. I've been watching most of the morning. I like Phil this week. I do. I don't think he wins it. We'll see what Tiger ball striking wise. I don't think ball striking wise with Tiger's going to be an issue. It's more putting. Especially when it gets windy, it's so hard to putt. That's the biggest thing for people to understand. It's not controlling your golf ball. It's controlling your golf ball when it's windy, guessing the gusts right and how it's going to react on the green, playing more break, playing less break, hitting it harder into the wind, playing it softer when you're putting downwind, all those little things. It's really hard. I'm a Tiger guy, but I think Phil performs I'll say a little better. You know, I really do like Justin Rose this week.
Okay.
Just very, very consistent. Played really well all year. I saw some stats, like his last 20-some scores on tour. And, you know, it's had some Ws and a bunch of top five, top tens. I just think he's so consistent. Such a great ball striker. Kind of an underrated putter. He's playing solid this morning, too. So give me Justin Rose come Sunday and Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Bird, we'll get caught up, bud. Thanks for the time.
Yep, you got it. Happy Father's Day to you, Smitty.
Jay Bird shaking his head at some of the open performances. We'll get you a rundown of the carnage at Shinnecock. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Well, we'll have some World Cup warnings from Putin. And we'll have some U.S. Open thoughts. Sauter Heyman, Rick has thoughts on what would look good on her finger, ears, or around her neck. How about Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of Pure Grown Diamonds? Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick today, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Rod West in Grand Island, sauterheyman.com. Pure Grown Diamonds are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean to you? Some savings, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mined diamonds. They're beautiful, they're wonderful, they're exclusively in Nebraska. It's Sauter Heyman, sauterheyman.com. Well, what were you expecting, Danny? Did you put any heat down on a favorite to win, a dark horse to win? Did you have any prop bets going, or do you just steer away from the golf temptation?
This time I actually steered away. The Masters, I did it before it started, but the U.S. Open, I wasn't feeling confident, and I kind of forgot, honestly, to do it before it started. But I'll probably do something before the end of it, just seeing, you know, who's in the running, like top three, and work from there. But, yeah, yesterday I said I had confidence in Spieth, and not doing too hot, to say the least.
Here's what you got. Rory, Phil, and Spieth all kind of, and you've done it. We've all done it. Just what are those sighs? after you hit just a brutal shot, followed by another brutal shot, followed by the why am I playing this? I'll be playing tomorrow afternoon. Plenty of water. Derek, Dr. Petey, Dr. Peterson, going to be in with Danny Burke doing the afternoon shift here on Hail Varsity. But I'll be doing my best non-Phil impersonation.
Wait, can I ask you a question actually first? I'm curious. On the golf course.
What do I do?
Like, what's your worst freak out you've had? Like, do you get really pissed, like anger management when you play? Because I used to and I still do sometimes when I play. Like, what's the worst thing you've done? Like, throw the club in the water or what?
I'm too cheap, right? You know this about me and it'd be echoed by many. I am cheap with just buying new gear.
Yeah.
And I am cheap with having to think about replacing said gear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I have my clubs. Johnny Clare, I love you. He sold me some clubs, and it's the worker, not the equipment, that's the issue. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm brutal. I'm horrible. Makovicka lies. Oh, Schmidt, you're okay at golf. Whatever, man. I have moments. If we play 18, there'll be three or four things that you take with you. Like, okay, you had a couple of good plays, but the rest of it's hot garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I have not. I joke about seeing if my putter or driver can float, but I'd never do that because that means I'd have to go buy one. I need to spend more time with Shuey.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to Shuey.
Right there.
Right? Okay. I think I got pissed. Really, really pissed probably 5-6 years ago, and I had two hybrids.
Okay.
I had a 3 and a 4 hybrid. Well, right now I can only use my 4 because the 3's, the head of it is just bent. Somebody went gangster on a metal part of the golf course. Might have been a bench. Might have been a trash can. I just lost it. I was playing well. I was playing a guy named Bolte.
Do you have something on the line?
Just pride.
Okay.
I mean, because I wanted to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did once. Usually he smokes me. But I was playing all right. It's where I had a window of time pre-baseball where you can go and play once or twice a week. Usually Saturday, Sunday. I mean, that's what I would do. We'd go play. And, yeah, my hybrids. We've said a few words about my hybrid. No, I've putted okay this year. I've only played a couple of times. Chipping, I'm okay with. Second shots have sucked unless it's with that 4 hybrid. It's the endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
And off the box is brutal. When I'm feeling it, and I'm boring the hell out of people, forgive me. When I'm feeling it, I can use my 9 or 8 in an extended par 3 tee shot. I'm not taking any HGH, so I got to club up a lot of times to green it. That's my goal, par 3. If I can see it, I can green it. And if I can just keep my head down, I can really throw some darts with the 8 or the 9 off the par 3.
Okay.
But usually I'm just knocking the hell out of it left or right.
Yeah, see, when
I answered your question at all.
Yeah, okay, so you broke a club. I'll stick with that. So the thing is, when you go into the day and you know you're going to suck, that's when you can kind of deal with it. But when you're, like, kind of getting back into the groove of golf, you're like, all right, you know, I'm actually going to try to shoot decent, and then you still kind of suck, that's when the anger comes
out. Here's what's going to happen. I'm glad and happy to be playing golf tomorrow afternoon. I'm glad and happy got to play in the Lincoln Orthopedic Open with Dr. Brandon. I'm just glad to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking the, like, once in a while, I'd be like, get it going.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to be away, just playing.
Exactly.
Spieth is going to go find some fireball or something, I think, because he shot a 78, triple bogey.
Yeah, he's at, like, +8 right now, I think.
Phil's at 77. That's okay, I guess. Jason Day's at 79. Gotta find Bubba. Is it 77? Kepka's at 75. Rory, Phil, Spieth. They've all got 12 majors between them. They were dazed and confused. Phil and Rory blew off the media on their way to lunch. I mean, Spieth at least said, I just tried to do too much. But the winds were awful, horrible. And Jay talked about it. Just that screws your putting up when it's windy. Usually you think about the tee shot, the wind affecting it. What do we got for Tiger right now? Do you got a leaderboard up?
I think Tiger plus eight is what I see. He's struggling too, man.
Yes. Right now, Piercy's minus one, Poulter minus one, Henley minus one, not June. DJ's at minus one, and Duffner's even. The winning score finishes how? What's the winning number? Is it minus three?
It's going to be right around three or four, I think.
Okay.
I'll say four.
Okay. Maybe DJ does get it done.
Yeah. He just might do it.
I don't know. What would you shoot there?
Nothing good.
That's a fair take, but I'm saying
probably
around
100.
That's okay. I mean, I'm saying I'd probably put a buck 50 up.
A buck 50? No.
Yes, I would.
If we're
playing from the blacks.
Okay, well, if we're playing
like
from
if
the
we
blacks.
Have to do like PGA rule where they're in the foot wedge or we're not fluffing up the old approach shot.
All right, then put me down like one.
If we got to play
20.
Like straight golf, like we're getting paid to do it.
Yeah, and we can't hit it like out of bounds
play
and all that.
Right, you can't play it as it lies. You have to play it as it lies. Is thick and nasty and gnarly as the rough is there and as brutal as the wind is and as narrow as it is to get on the green like Shuey was talking about at Shinnecock Hills. The problem would be all of what I just mentioned and then just not losing it because it would murder you. That course is so tough with the conditions. You'd want to go find a deck at Southampton and just drink beer. You'd say forget about golf.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Thursday. Great to be with you. Hale Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Amazing thoughts from Brandon Vogel, Greg Smith, Jay Moore today. You can log on halevarsity.com or get to iTunes for the podcast. Danny will have stuff posted on ESPN Lincoln's website for some one-on-one podcast options for you. And we'll have some blurbs. Blurbs? Blurbs?
You call it blips.
Blips. I've changed the name.
I've
audible.
Clips, but
you call them clips. I call them blips. Little blips. You love them on ESPN Hale Varsity's Twitter handle. So we'll have some good stuff from Jay Moore, Brandon Vogel, Greg Smith on that. We talked frost in Florida. How close was it? Marty and that Marty party that'll be at 7 tonight with Scott Frost in the Grand Canyon. Kind of a real dude with Scott Frost, and that is evident with that hike down to the Colorado River. 100% authentic. And we hit some U.S. Open, and we just kind of threw around how bad we would play, and if we've ever had that moment of Happy Gilmore, where we chucked the club.
I got to give you one of my stories, though. Still.
No, I was going to. That's what I was following.
So me personally, mine's just been like
you're a pretty good little athlete, though. I think.
Yeah, but not with golf unless I do it consistently.
Okay.
So I haven't been good for a while. The worst I've done is just like chuck my club, you know, across the fairway, whatever. But when I've been playing with my friends, one time this happened, we were all going out. We're probably in middle school or lower high school, like freshman or something. Our one buddy hits it, slices it to the other fairway, other hole. Me and my other pal, we're standing back, you know, hands crossed, just waiting for him to shoot. He turns back, chucks his club, whips it full force. Comes right and misses me by like an inch. Hits the guy standing next to me on his shin. The club snaps in half.
At least it wasn't the guy's shin snapping in half.
It might as well have been. It was unbelievable. Just imagine an iron coming full speed, breaks on your shin.
You.
It was something else.
I got mad one time, and I think there is still one of my irons in a pine tree at Hidden Valley. That is
still there to this day.
It's still there to this day, and I think I'm going to blame my father-in-law on this. He forgot to put the parking brake on at the top of a hill, and we sent a cart into a ditch. They had to call a tow truck. And then at one of the shenanigan-filled weekend parties, somebody put, not me, I swear it wasn't me, put a cart into the drink.
There you go. Yeah,
I'm not kidding. I mean, it happened. It went into the drink. One of the wheels went into the drink. And then the rest of the cart went into the drink. I was a passenger, not a driver.
See, on our dad's
day, I did chip in on the cooler.
For our fraternity, this was during the trend of hitting your friends with golf carts. So,
right, and then you saw social media, the maimed and hurt.
Yep, a couple of my buddies got hit on that day, to say the least, with the golf cart.
Were you
going
run
full
over?
Speed. Yeah, like you run into them. That was the trend this past year.
I know, you're playing bumper cars. First
but no, you literally run over the kid as he's standing there. I didn't partake. Luckily, I didn't get hit, but it's fun to watch, not fun to be a part of.
No, that could mess you up.
Yes, you could get seriously injured, that's for sure.
How many times you see on Facebook video some dude trying to play golf cart cowboy, and he tries to jump off, hits wrong, falls, and then his buddy runs over him.
Yeah, like I got the videos. I'll have
25.
To show you.
Man, Danny Burke, evil on the golf course. Chris Schmidt, thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Back with you tomorrow at 4. Thanks to Derek Peterson. He'll be in tomorrow with Danny Burke. They'll rock it for you. And have yourself a great Father's Day weekend. We'll be back for the Saturday edition, the weekend edition. I will be anyway, with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have a good one.